Oh, hallelujah. Thank you so much, Pastor Josh and Ellen, as well as the leadership of the church. I salute Miss Wendy and the great, great grandfather and father of this ministry, the late Prophet Von Gerald. We bless God for him. I'm so grateful to stand here. Just a little background on me. Prophet Von Gerald came to Africa and carried with him a young man out of New York and came over to Africa. And that young man decided to stay in Africa and told Prophet Von, "I'm not going back. I'm going to stay in Africa. I'm going to minister here." And that young man began to raise disciples, got married in Africa, and began to raise disciples. And the first disciples that that young man had also raised disciples. And I'm one of those disciples that were raised as a third generation. Hallelujah. So what Prophet Von sowed into Africa, I'd like to say that I'm a fruit of that. What all of you guys sowed into Africa, I'm a fruit of that, and I'm so grateful to be here today. It's an honor to stand before you, and I hope you be blessed. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, so to talk a little bit about my ministry. So 3 years ago, I was assisting pastoring a church in Livingstone, Temple of Power. Miss Wendy has been there, he's been there. Prophet Von was always there. Pastor Josh has been there. Because Pastor Thomas, the pastor there, who raised me up, who was a disciple of David Hart. David Hart, the disciple of Von Gerald. passed away in 2015, and I began to assist pastoring that church. And in 2018, the Lord began to speak to me about going into the mission field. And a year later, I was invited into Overland into Advanced Missions Training School. And I did that school, and now I'm working with Overland. And Temple of Power is now my home church. So after I work with Overland, then I go to my home church. But yeah, and my ministry is basically to the chiefs. Those of you who don't know chiefs, chiefs are like kings, King David, King Nebuchadnezzar. And in Africa, especially the southern part of Africa and the western part of Africa, we have two forms of leadership, the political one, where people are voted into office. And there's also a traditional one where chiefs and kings inherit the throne by bloodline. And so my ministry is to those indigenous leaders, bringing the gospel to them, praying for them, and just really showing them the love of Jesus. And it is out of this ministry that these chiefs, once they give their lives to Jesus, they open up their entire areas, their entire chiefdoms to the gospel. And this is where Corey and the wife get to go and live in that community and share to the villagers there the gospel. Amen.
Amen.
And so this ministry has really taken root in Zambia, and it's bearing fruit. And all the neighboring countries of Zambia are saying, "We want what you're doing. We would like to have that in our countries." Because so further beyond preaching to the chiefs and praying for them, we are actually training men and women of God who come alongside them to advise them. Because all the chiefs have advisory councils, but most of the people on those advisory boards are witch doctors. And they only advise the chief to do traditional stuff, and most of them are not actually biblical. But we are showing the chiefs, like, "Chief, look in the Bible. Every king had a prophet alongside them. And so we'd like you to have a prophet that can advise you on spiritual matters." We don't pick the prophet for them. We ask them to pick somebody in their chiefdom, in their community, who is born again, who is a leader in the church, who is well respected, whom the chief can respect and trust. And so they send this person to us, we train them, and this person comes, we launch them back into that community, and they become a discipler of the chief, and they just bring unity in the chiefdom and share the gospel and disciple the chief. And so the neighboring countries are like, this is a beautiful program. We want it in our countries as well. When are you bringing it? So the past 5 years, Overland has been training chaplains in Zambia only. We call the prophets chaplains. We don't want to call them prophets because the word prophet in Africa has been so damaged that you don't want to call anybody a prophet because people will think they are fake and they just want to steal people's money. So we call them chaplains. They're a chaplain to the palace, a chaplain to the chief. And so for 5 years, Overland has been doing it in Zambia. But this year, we are expanding to Zimbabwe, Malawi, Congo, and Angola. So this work has really expanded. To God be the glory. So I'm happy to serve with Overland Missions. Traveling to the nations and preaching, sharing the gospel has really been on my heart since I was a young person. I thank God for the prophetic word, and I like the part that said we shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon us, and we are going to be witnesses, beginning in our own areas, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. I began sharing in my country, and today I'm happy to be here. I'm traveling around countries, and I'm sharing the gospel. And it just reminds me, my dad died when I was 10 years old, and my uncle and aunt got me to stay with them. And my dad and mom took us to church. And when I went to live with my aunt also took us to church, but whenever we got back home, she was an angel in church, but she was a devil at home. But I mean, I've forgiven her. We love each other. We're good. And she really pushed me out of church because I couldn't stand somebody being an angel in church and being a devil at home. So I didn't want anything to do with church. And I remember one time my uncle worked in the World Health Organization, and every now and then he would travel out of the country. And every time he traveled out, would escort him to the airport. You know, every one of us, I was 11, 12, would jump into the car and escort my uncle to the airport. And I remember this one particular day, I was so excited. My uncle was going out. He was on a night flight. And I jumped into the car. I was the first one, Pastor Josh, jumping into the car. And I sat in the car waiting for everybody to come. And I remember my aunt walking up to the car and asking me, where are you going? And I mean, I said, aren't we going to the airport? And she said, yeah, but you are not going. And I was like, what? She said, you're not going. Get out of the car. For no reason. And I got out of the car and went back in the house, and my cousins and everybody else got into the car and went. I've never forgotten that day because of how painful it felt. I couldn't understand why she couldn't allow me to go to the airport. It was just an airport escorting our uncle. But she couldn't allow me. And it hurt so much. It did. It hurt so much. And today when I see myself beyond the airport and in a country preaching the gospel, I am so much encouraged. And I see the human being stopped me from going to the airport, but God has allowed me to go beyond the airport and preach his gospel. And I want to encourage somebody. I don't know what you think is stopping you from doing something. Well, God has chosen you and he's qualified you to go beyond what man can place in front of you as a blockade for you not to move forward or to progress. Amen? God is great and God is good.
Hallelujah.
Pastor Josh, am I allowed to come downstairs? Oh, all right. I just want to make sure I don't break the rules. Some churches, you need to stand on the podium all the way through, and when you come down, they might stone you. I just want to make sure I can walk around. So I'm going to share from the book of Matthew chapter 16. If you're writing notes, I'll read Matthew chapter 16 from verse 13 to verse 20. And then I'm going to read, I might read or not read it, just recite it, John chapter 4 from verse 5 all the way to 35 or 42 actually. And then I'm also going to read Luke chapter number 24 from verse 13 all the way to 31. And the three portions of scripture are, the first one is where Jesus is asking his disciples, who do people say that I am? I'm sure we know that portion. John chapter 4 is a conversation between Jesus and a woman at the well. We know that very well, right? And then Luke chapter 24 is a story of the two gentlemen, the two disciples that were so discouraged because they had believed Jesus was going to be the superhero that was going to come and save the entire Israeli nation, but he had died and they hadn't heard from him for 3 days. Those are the three stories. So I'll read Matthew 16, verse 13. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say you're John the Baptist, and some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. This, every time I read this, I laugh so much because this is so funny. Because I'm like, guys, wasn't it John the Baptist that baptized this guy? So how can he be John the Baptist? Something is not right there. But I mean, these were people just like us today. So he's John the Baptist, you know. And somebody said, well, but John the Baptist baptized him. And somebody said, well, then he's Elijah. And somebody said, granddad, that's not Elijah. Elijah died a long time ago. And then, well, who's he? Then he's Jeremiah. All right, let's all agree he's one of the prophets. Verse 15, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples, saying that they should not tell anyone that he was Jesus, the Christ. I want to talk to you this morning about changing the sound. You know, there's the devil is using sound to deceive many. He's using the airwaves, using sound to deceive many. When we turn on the TV, we turn on the radio, all we hear is how bad the world is getting. And it's creating fear in many people, especially the past 2 years. I mean, 2020 was what began like a flu, ended up being something that everybody around the world, except for this church, by the way, thumbs up.
Pastor Josh told me you guys never closed. You only rested, I think, for 2 weeks. And that was awesome. I love that. I'm like, yeah. Once the government said, what's the word again? Non-essential. They divide and say, well, some business are essential and some are not essential. And they categorize the church in the non-essential. How can we be non-essential? We serve a God who is a life giver. How can we be non-essential? And that's the sound that went out. And I'm telling you, people got divided in churches, even in Africa. When some people try to stand up against it, some people are like, no, you can't do that. And some people walked out of church. Some people lost relationships because there's been this constant sound that says we're going to die. We're going to die. And it's funny that people will be in the mall on a Saturday and maybe watch a game on a Friday, but then they won't come on Sunday because there's that virus that has got so many names that if that if you mention the name, even if you are live on Facebook, they cut you off. The only sound that's acceptable is the fear-mongering sound. That's a sound that's acceptable. And we can't stand and just watch. We gotta make our own sound. And our own sound comes from the word of God. The prophecy said we are going to be witnesses when the Spirit of God comes upon us. We'll be witnesses. And Jesus in our text is asking them, because Jesus probably has been walking with them for about a year and a half or more at this particular moment. And he's asking them, who do people say that I am? He's like, I know there's a conversation going on. In the stores, at the dinner table. Yeah, there's this conversation going on. Who do people say that I am? And they were quick to answer. They say, well, some say you're John the Baptist, and some say you're Elijah, and others say you're Jeremiah, and some say you're one of the prophets. One of the prophets, yeah. But then he turns around and says, but then who do you say that I am? And he's saying, yeah, I know on the dinner table, some say I'm John the Baptist. Some say I'm Elijah, and some say I'm Jeremiah. And some say I'm just a prophet. But what do you say that I am in that conversation? Who do you say I am? Yeah, when people say he's just a prophet, there's a religion that says, yeah, we accept him. He's just a prophet. Just like our prophet. Who agree? He's a prophet. But if he's only a prophet and that's all you agree, you're actually saying he can't be the Son of God. And if you say he can't be the Son of God, then he can't be God. And people are comfortable to call him a prophet because they're scared to call him God. And Jesus is asking, so what do you say in this conversation? Beloved of the Lord, I'm not calling you to begin an argument at the dinner table. No. It's not about an argument. It's simply about saying who you know he is. Who is he to you? Because if you're going to be a witness, you must be a witness knowing who he is. If you are called to stand as a witness, if he has healed you, you will say he is a healer and I am a witness. Yeah, you can call him prophet and call him whatever you want, but I call him a healer. I call him the Savior. And he asks, who do you say I am? And everybody is quiet. You see how the Bible says, when he asked, who do people say I am? It was easy to say what people call him. Because the Bible says they said. They said, you are this and this. But then he asked, who do you say? And there was silence. Only one voice. The voice of Peter. Only Peter stood up and said, you know what? You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. You are the Christ. And everybody is quiet, probably wondering, well, yeah, you know, I understand it was hard for these guys. It would have been hard for us as well. Because this is a guy who lives, what are the streets here? I don't know the streets. I'll just pick a street. What? Washington Avenue. This is a guy who lived at the fifth house in Washington Avenue. We've played football with him. We hiked the mountains with him. And today he's 30 years old and he says he's the Messiah. I mean, that is hard. That is hard, very hard. Jesus, you are the Messiah? Well, I mean, we agree you've done some miracles. That's wonderful. That's exciting. That's amazing. But you being the Messiah is kind of hard. But unless, like Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Flesh and blood will not reveal him to us. Meaning it's not intellectual. You don't get to know him out of a classroom. You get to know him by experience. It's his revelation himself when he reveals himself to you. He reveals himself. He chooses to reveal himself to you. It says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. He's helping Peter at the same time because he doesn't want Peter to have confidence in his flesh. He wants Peter to know this is not about your flesh. This is not about your flesh. People try to build a church on flesh, on their good looks, on their intelligence. But he says, no. It's not about your intelligence. It's not about your flesh. It's not about your status. It's not because you're a congressman that I revealed myself to you. No, it's not because you're good looking or you come from a wonderful family, a rich family. It's not about status. It's about God himself choosing to reveal himself. And that's why he did. It's my Father in heaven who has revealed himself to you. And the first sound we need to change is the sound of his identity. That's what I'm calling you to this morning. The sound of his identity. People don't know who he is. And so they'll give out whatever thing. Some think he's a genie. He's a genie in a bottle. Some think he's just a painkiller. He's just a painkiller tablet. When you get some pain, just get that medicine. And when you're well, you can walk away and do your own thing. And then when it's hard again, you can come back. Yeah, some people think he's a quick fixing guy. He'll fix something for you. So come back, he fixes it, and then you can go. No. We need to change that sound. Of course, these guys didn't have the Holy Spirit in them at that time, but we are blessed because we have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit, and we know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. So when people are calling him prophet and calling him John the Baptist and calling him Jeremiah, we can stand up and say, I know who he is. He is the way. I know who he is. He is the truth. I know who he is. He is the life. That's who he is. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. Nobody goes to the Father except through him. There's no salvation except through the name of Jesus. He's our way to the Father. He's the Alpha and Omega, a God who cannot be contained. He's the Lion of Judah, and he is the Lamb that was slain. That's who he is. It's as simple as that. When people call him whatever they want to call him, just call him who he is, who he really is. And they're going to sit back and begin to think on their own. And that's a seed enough. Sometimes we don't know what to say to our family members because they're atheists and they just don't believe. And they call him whatever they want to call him. Just sit there and say, you know what? He is the way, the truth, and the life. I promise you, that's a great seed. One day, that person will be stuck. And they'll remember what you said about this Jesus, about this God. They'll remember that you said he is the way. And they're going to look for a way out and they're going to say, Jesus, if you are really the way, get me out of this. Somebody's going to be looking for truth. Because they've had so many lies and they're going to sit down and say, I think I remember my sister, my brother, my pastor, my uncle, my aunt said he is the truth. And Jesus, in the midst of all these lies going on around me, if you are really the truth, come through for me. Somebody is going to be running out of life at the end of their lives. And they will say, I think I remember my sister said, he is the life. And Jesus, if you are life, give me life right now. Great seed. Just you changing that sound is great seed. He is a lamb that was slain. And they're going to wonder and say, why was he slain? I need to find out why was he slain. And that will lead them to reading the Bible and finding out why was this guy slain? And why did he rise again? Hallelujah. Changing the sound. Turn to your neighbor and say, changing the sound. We've heard so much of COVID. You know, the statement I hate the word the most is, I'm sorry if we are online and they cut us. But there's people that say, people say, especially in my country, I don't know about this country, I haven't heard it, but they say, COVID is real, mask up. All right? Yeah, that's cool. COVID is real, mask up. But at the same time, Jesus is also real and is still healing. Right? Yeah. No, you know, we're not saying be stupid and do stupid stuff like go on licking door handles and... What I'm saying is, yeah, COVID is real, mask up. But Jesus is also real and is still healing. Except one of the two is more louder than the other. And it's because believers are quiet. We're not saying it enough. We are scared because we're going to be canceled. All right? But we're not called to fit in. We are called to stand out. Yes, we are. And we need to change that sound. Thank God for science. Yes, we agree with the science. But you also need to know that our God is a healing God. Our God is a saving God. Our God is a deliverer. You know, working with chiefs the past year has been so awesome and exciting. And you could see there's been so much fear with these kings. They've been so scared because all they hear is that they're going to die. And they're scared. They're very afraid. One chief actually said to us, you know, we went to visit him, shared the gospel with him, stayed with him for about an hour. And Pastor Josh, he couldn't release us. He didn't want us to leave. We're like, chief, we want to go and see other chiefs. He's like, no, I don't want you to go. I just want you to stay here. Can you pray again? he kept wanting us to pray again so we could stay longer. And he was like, all right, can you promise me that on your way back you will stop over again? We're like, yeah, chief, we're going to stop over again. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to build a small house just for you guys so that every time you come, you can stay here. I'm like, wow, that's so amazing. That's so amazing. And it's a joy. We are changing the sound in these chiefdoms. I just shared with Pastor Josh, this other chieftainess, the female chiefs, we call them chieftainess. And we preached the gospel to her, prophesied over her, gave her words of knowledge, words of wisdom, told her stuff that were going on in her life and her family. And she was shocked. She couldn't believe it. And she began to cry. She began to cry. And now, it is not permitted for a chief to cry in the presence of their subjects, because that's a sign of weakness. Because the chief is the biggest person, and in terms of authority, they count them as the strongest. And you can't show weakness. Otherwise, they dethrone you. And so you don't cry. They don't even go to funerals. They're not allowed to go for a funeral. They just stay, and that's it. And he is a chief crying in the presence of strangers. That's even worse. And you know what she said? She said, I've been on the throne for 47 years, and nobody has ever come to tell me that Jesus loves me. Nobody has ever shared the gospel with me 47 years on the throne. You could see the tears are genuine. She's really touched by the love of God. And you know, I grew up thinking and believing that the chief, every chief is actually a witch because they are surrounded by witch doctors. And I grew up thinking like that, like chiefs are the center of witchcraft. But to come and sit before this chief and she's crying as we share the gospel to her and she says, nobody has ever come. That changed me forever. Because I went before the Lord and I wept as well. I said, Lord, forgive me. These guys are humans after all. They're humans and they also need your love. And I'm going to commit myself to ministering to them. If nobody is committed to going to them and telling them how much you love them, I will commit my life to sharing this gospel with them and telling them God loves them. And this sound has been heard in the neighboring countries. Has been heard in the neighboring countries, and they want it in their countries. Let's change the sound of his identity, who he really is. The second sound we need to change is in John chapter 4, that story of the woman at the well. Jesus' disciples go to the store to get some food, and Jesus decides to stay. That's John chapter 4 from verse 5. And the Bible says he must needs go through Samaria. And so he comes to the well and he sits at the well. And this woman comes to the well. And Jesus says to her, could you give me some water to drink? And the woman says, if that woman was American in this day today, she would say, hey, you're Republican and I'm Democrat. And the last time I checked, Republicans and Democrats don't talk to each other. We don't like each other. You know, you got your own blue stuff and we got our own red stuff. So this woman says to him, hey, listen, you are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. And Samaritans have got no dealings with the Jews. So why don't you just leave me alone? And I'm not going to help you, Jesus. I'm not going to help you, Jesus. Isn't it
what it is today as well. You're vaccinated, I'm not. We got no dealings. We can't sit together. I don't want to get this disease. And we are separating each other. You're white, I'm black. And when we do that, especially on race, I believe there's only one human race. And it's called the human race. Immediately you begin to identify people by their outward appearance, you are removing the identity that Christ has placed on them and even on yourself. Because Paul said, we know no man after the flesh. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. And I don't see color, I see a brother and a sister. Because if all of us cut ourselves right now, the color of our blood is the same. It is the same. So I look beyond the color and I see the child of God, my brother, my sister, whom I'm going to spend eternity with. So if we're going to spend eternity together, we might as well get it well right here, right now. Because if we can't get together in this short period, well, eternity is going to be long. Eternity is long. And so Jesus says to her, listen, if only you knew who it is that is asking water from you, you would have asked him, he would have given you the water of life. All right? And this woman says, well, you got nothing to draw with, you know, and I can see there's nothing you got. And then the conversation switches to worship. And the woman says, well, you know, we worship in this mountain, and you guys say in Jerusalem is where we ought to worship. Listen to Jesus' response. Jesus says, you know what? A time is coming when you will neither worship him in this mountain or in Jerusalem. And Jesus says, actually, time is now, because God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So it's got nothing to do with a place and time. It's got everything to do with spirit and in truth. So it's not about, there's people right now saying, no, you must worship him on a Friday. Others say, no, you must worship him on a Saturday because it's a seventh day. Others say, no, you must worship him on Sunday because it's the first day. And there's all this noise going on. But Jesus says it's got nothing to do with the day. It's got nothing to do with the place. It's got everything to do with where you are at whatever moment, at whatever time, you can come before him and honor him and magnify him and praise him, even in the store, anywhere, even on the train, even on the plane. You can stand up and say, God, I thank you. I honor you. I magnify you, oh God. There is none besides thee. You stand in the class of your own. You are God all by yourself. From eternity to eternity, you never change. You are God. I don't have to wait for Saturday. I don't have to wait for Sunday. I don't have to wait for Friday. I can worship him anytime. That's the second sound we need to change. People are going to come to us and ask us, you know, this Christian thing, I just don't understand it, man. Some people worship on Friday, some people worship on Saturday, and people are confused. They're going to come to you and say, so which day, you know, I don't understand. There it is. It's got nothing to do with a day. It's not a day. Jesus said to the woman, it's not a day and it's not a place. Not a place. It's all about your heart. In spirit and in truth. So we're changing the sound of his identity. We're changing the sound of worship. That woman says to Jesus, you know, the Messiah is going to come and he's going to tell us so many things that you're telling me about right now. And Jesus says to her, well, I am the Messiah. And the Bible says the woman leaves her water pot. She left her water pot and rushed into her city And that woman became the greatest evangelist ever in Samaria because she brought the whole city to Jesus to come and meet him. She left a water pot, forgot what she came for because she had encountered the Christ, the Savior, whom she thought was coming years ahead, but he was there standing with her. Told her about worship. Here's the interesting thing. As she's leaving, his disciples appear. And the Bible is so, gives details, you know. It actually tells us his disciples actually don't understand why he's talking to a woman. But they decide not to talk about it. They were smart. they're like just inside within themselves. They're like, why is he talking to the woman? But anyway, that's fine. Just don't ask him. Let's not talk about it. Let's not talk about it. But his disciples compel him to eat. And he says, no, I don't want to eat. And they begin to ask each other, did somebody give him something to eat? I guess somebody in the back says, I guess a woman gave him something. And probably Peter is like, no, guys, none of that. But Jesus says, I have meat and food that you do not know of. And he says, do you not say that there are 4 months before the harvest? But I say to you that look on the field. The harvest is ready to be harvested. The third sound we need to change is the sound of his harvest. We still think it has to be 4 months before the harvest can come, but Jesus says, no, the harvest is ready right now. The harvest is ready because I'm coming very soon. The harvest is ready. You're still waiting for God to tell you who to speak to and when to go? Well, he already said it in Matthew 28. He said, go into all the world and make disciples of men, teaching them to follow my ways. He's not going to say it again. He already said it. And if you felt it in your heart at some point, and he pointed you to a certain place, could be your workplace, could be your neighborhood, could be wherever, he already said go, because the harvest is ready. We don't need to give excuses anymore. If we walk into people that are giving excuses, we need to change that sound and say, you know what? The harvest is ready. This is the time when the harvest is ready. Changing the sound about his identity. Changing the sound about worship. Changing the sound about the harvest. The end time harvest. This is a perfect time. You know, on the one hand, fear is so bad. It's not good. But on the other hand, I think when people are scared, that's the best time to tell them about Jesus. Yeah. There's a guy that will take away that fear. Do you want to hear about him? I can tell you about him. I got the time to tell you about him. And because people are going to wonder, how come you're not fearful? How come you're not scared? How come you're always smiling? I'm like, oh, there's a guy that makes me smile. Do you want me to tell you about him? Why are you so peaceful? Well, there's a guy that gives me peace. Do you want me to tell you about him? I can tell you about him and how to invite him in your home. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The harvest is ready. Turn to your neighbor and say, the harvest is ready. The harvest is ready. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. The last portion of scripture that I ask you to write down is Luke 24, from verse 13. Jesus has died, and these two guys are on their way on the highway to Emmaus. And they're walking and they're sad. The Bible tells us that Jesus, Luke 24 from 13 all the way to 42, I think. And they're walking, they're sad. And Jesus walks up to them and he asks them, why are you guys sad? And they look at him and they're like, are you just a visitor here? Like, you honestly don't know what is going on and what has happened? And they say, no, I don't know. I'd like to know. Why don't you guys tell me about it? And they're like, dude, there's this guy, you know, this guy called Jesus. This Jesus was a mighty prophet. Watch that. They're still calling him a prophet. To them, he was just a prophet. They're like, well, there's this guy called, he was a prophet, mighty indeed, you know. He did so many miracles. And, you know, we had believed that he was the one who was going to rescue the tribe of Israel or the country of Israel. But he died 3 days ago, and he had said before he died that he was going to rise again. Except today's the third day, and we haven't heard anything from him. And what makes it worse is that the women, thank God for the women, they were so brave, they went to the tomb before the men and found that he rose and spoke to angels, and the angels told them that he rose. But you know how men are. When the women brought back the report, men are like, oh man, can you believe that? Lord, forgive us, men. The women saw an angel and came back with a report, which matched what he said. He said he was going to rise. And the angel said he rose. And the women brought the report because you men didn't want to go to the tomb. It was after the women said he rose that the men jumped up and rushed to the tomb to go and check and see if the women are actually telling the truth. And they go there and they don't find him. And yeah, so, you know, but the women said what they said, but we didn't believe the women, you know. This Jesus, we don't know where he is. And Jesus says, oh, slow of heart to learn. Don't you know that the Christ should have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And the Bible says, beginning at Moses and all the way through the prophets, he showed them things concerning himself. He preached to them from Moses, from the Old Testament. You know where Moses begins? Moses begins at Genesis because he's the guy that wrote Genesis. And so Jesus goes back to the beginning and shows them throughout the whole journey. And I like the Bible. The Bible says their eyes were restrained from knowing them because their eyes are flesh. Flesh cannot grasp who he is. And so he expounds to them things concerning himself. And they've walked a whole day. And now it's evening. And Jesus is a great guy. He pretends like he's going to bypass their house. Because they said, oh, Jesus, we've arrived. This is where we live. And he pretends like he's going to the next village. And they say to him, yo, you must come and stay with us for the night. It's late. And he turns and sits with them. You read this portion of scripture, either when you go back home at any time,
The Bible says, Pastor Josh, this is what was amazing to me. He sits in their house and serves them. He's the visitor, but he serves them. It says he breaks bread and gives it to them. He's a visitor. It's not his house. Unless he's the Messiah. Unless he is Christ. No other visitor can save you in your own house. Unless he is the King of Kings. He saves them. And once they eat that bread, their eyes are opened and he disappears. Because flesh cannot handle who he is. He disappears from their sight. And suddenly they recognize who he is. And they're like, man, didn't our hearts burn when he was speaking to us? It took a whole day to move from where they were to their house. And it was late at night, but they could not stay. Once he was revealed to them, once he was revealed to them, they stood up and went back. Why did they go back? To go and change the sound about his resurrection. Because there was a lie out there that his disciples had stolen him. There was a lie out there that he never rose. He just disappeared. There was a lie out there. People were paid to lie. And they walked all night. They couldn't stay. The revelation of Jesus could not allow them to just sit back in their homes. They went back all the way. Went back to that place where all the other disciples were and say to them, guys, he is risen. Just like he said, he's alive. He is risen from the dead. And he reigns forevermore. And he showed up to us. And the Bible says, while they were saying these things, Jesus appeared right next to them. He appeared right next to them, which tells me that everywhere we will go, as we are changing the sound, Jesus is going to be standing right beside us. He's going to be with us, confirming his word with signs and with wonders, because he's committed to his word. They changed the sound about his resurrection. He's alive and he rose. This week, next week, or whatever time, you will find yourself in four of these circumstances. People are going to be talking about who he is. What will you say he is? People are going to be talking about worship and the different days and the different times. What are you going to say in that moment? People are going to be talking about the harvest. They're going to say so many things. What are you going to say about the harvest? People are going to talk about his resurrection. They'll say so many things about it. The question is, what do you know? And what are you going to say? What has been revealed to you? What are you going to say in these moments? What are you going to say? As a witness, you're going to be called to the stand. But his identity, about worship, about the harvest, and about his resurrection. You're a witness. What are you going to say in that moment? It all begins by him being revealed to you. God himself being revealed to you. When he's revealed to you, you're a witness. A witness of who he really is. Let's just pray together. Jesus, we thank you. Jesus, we honor you. Lord, we magnify you. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. word that encourages us, a word that challenges us, oh God. To stand up for what is right, oh God, and be able to speak it and share it. Not out of pride, oh God, but out of humility, dear God. Knowing, oh God, that it is you who is revealing yourself to us. We thank you, Father, that you will speak through us. And you will bring even our loved ones, oh God, closer to you, dear God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that brother, that sister, oh God. That mother, oh God, that father, that grandfather, that grandmother, that uncle, that aunt, oh God, that cousin, whom some people in here are believing, oh God, to come close to you, dear Lord. Father, we thank you, oh God, that in our conversations with them, dear God, that the seed of the word will be shared, oh God, and that the devil will not snatch it, and the devil will not steal that seed, but that seed will begin to germinate, oh God, in the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we thank you even for your healing presence in this place, dear God. You are a healer, oh God. Heal everyone, oh God, that may not be feeling well right now in this place in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray for that person, oh God, who is standing on the crossroads, oh God, doesn't know where to go and what to do, dear God. Your word tells us that whenever we find ourselves in that circumstance, we'll hear a voice saying, this is the way, walk here in it. Lord, I pray that you enlighten the eyes of their understanding, dear Lord, in the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We give you praise, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Wow. Seeing spots. Whoa. I hope you felt the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. I know I just was taking notes as fast as my thumbs could move. What a great blessing. Our hearts are with you. Our finances will be with you. We're going to make sure you get to continue what you're doing in a powerful way, and that the substance that you need will never be a limiting factor for you getting on as many planes as you have to get onto to go wherever the Lord opens doors. I just see God opening so many doors for you. There's a powerful anointing on your life, and doors are just going to fly open, and we're just blessed. You ever feel like you're in the presence of somebody that you're really, it's an honor to be in the presence of? Just, I'm talking in the anointing of what's on you, my brother. It's overwhelming, and whew. I'm one apart. We'll be sowing into that personally. I hope that you understand the investment opportunity that's before us right now, and he is working with Overland Missions, and so finances get distributed that way. There's paperwork at the back. You can at least get contact information to make sure that you can connect yourself. I want to be connected with that kind of a harvest where folks that we have no ability to even know who they are and go, but our substance can enable that message with the level of anointing that is going to meet these needs. My brother, honored to be here in your presence. Corey and Candace, I know you guys too. You're finishing your support, as you said, 72%. I thought, man, I'm an optimist. I'm like, man, you guys are almost there. Let's make sure that we do all that we can to help get you there. I know some folks in the church, you do personally support monthly or annually these guys. But if you don't, now's an opportunity. And Vaughn was always big about making sure that we understood the connection between the natural and the spiritual, and they're mirrors of one another, and the things that are happening in the spirit, they do impact us in the natural, and the things we do in the natural, we do lay up treasure in heavenly places through the natural substance of our lives. And I'm just overwhelmed. I'm blessed that you guys are here. I'm just blessed by last Sunday seeing, I think it was 23 folks just get baptized and commit themselves. It was just, God's just doing so much. And I believe we have, for those that didn't get a baptism certificate, we're having troubles with the printer, so I believe they have those at the desk back there. If not, we'll have them by next week. But God's on the move. I hope. I mean, I heard so much, but now the harvest is ready now. It's just ready right now. I mean, whew, you talk to people, their ears are open. They want to know what's going on. Why aren't you afraid? And just the echo that I feel in my spirit with what our brother shared is just powerful. I feel so refreshed and recharged, and I hope you do too. So let's just stand together and Father, I pray that as we go out of this place, that you'd remind us we're never alone. Holy Spirit, there's no time or distance in the realms that are eternal, but your kingdom is here on earth right now. Your kingdom come, your will be done this week, this day, here in Kingston, in the areas we all represent, as it is in heaven. We thank you that you're going to use this group of people, the courage you've placed within us, Father, by your Spirit, that we would just allow it to go to another level, that there would be a confidence in you and who you are and who you've revealed yourself to be to us, that would just cause us to be drawn to the need, to be moving towards those who need to hear about you and not just shrinking back. Father, we thank you for your presence that goes with us. We thank you for the joy that you refresh us with, and Lord, that when we're in your presence, we have all that we need. We have power, we have life, we have truth. And we're in the way. Father, we thank you so much for all that you've poured through our brother this morning, and for just Corey and Candace, and for Joe and Lily that couldn't be with us. We just thank you that you're using us and people like churches like us to just reach out way beyond the walls of even the borders of our own country to do a work in the day that we've been blessed to live in. And we thank you for that. We pray your protection over their travels. We pray your protection over us, Lord, even as we travel here. And just that constant awareness that you're with us. You're speaking to us. Turn left, turn right. This is the way. Walk in it. We thank you for that kind of leadership, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Greet somebody. If you see someone you don't know, especially greet them. Have a great day.